Hey everybody, just want to let you know that coming up in this episode, there are a couple of stories we had to cut out due to audio recording issues that chunked up the recording that, just frankly made it impossible to piece it together in a cohesive way. So there's one of our assholes of the week, both our heroes of the week stories, and a couple others after that that are missing. Please do check the show notes, either in the podcast, I believe you should be getting that, or on our site smashpad.com if you want to see the stories. Definitely read them, especially the space one about the there being more light in space than we thought. It's an interesting story if you're into your space stuff, so thank you for continuing to listen. We'll try to get these audio issues figured out. For this week, it'll be a little bit shorter than usual, but still plenty of stuff here to listen to. Thank you. Have a good one.
America and all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Chris Logie and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Yeah. It is now, I guess now 3 weeks now that President Trump has still refused to concede defeat in the election. Yeah.
Just about.
Unfortunately, he will still be in office until January, I guess, 20th. In which case, no matter what he fucking says, they'll have to drag him out of there. And I hope they do. And I hope every camera in the world has every angle possible to record that footage.
Mm-hmm. Get your popcorn, guys.
So I can save it to my hard drive and watch it whenever I'm feeling down. Anyway, this episode is going to be for November 20th, 2020. And next week is going to be Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't feel like it should be.
Doesn't feel like it should be, but it will. Now, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that most of y'all are probably going to be keeping your family gatherings to a minimum this year?
To a no. A no, 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 no. No, yeah. No, no.
Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be the same as always.
Yep.
Void 99% of the family.
Yeah.
So it's my parents and say no to going elsewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying I've got enough food.
Yep.
Hmm. As for my family, we're going to be, visiting my grandmother, and, I mean, she lives not very far away from here, so, it's just going to be me, my parents, and my aunt and uncle, and maybe one or two of my cousins. It'll just be us. Because I know back when we first started doing the show, I used to describe, like, what, you know, regular Thanksgiving was for us, but we haven't been able to do that for the last few years. So amongst other things that have happened, remember how we all predicted that, around the summer when COVID seemed to be going, when so did be trending downward, and everybody was warning, you know, guys, prepare yourselves because it's going to get bad once fall and winter gets around here.
Yeah.
Ta-da! It's here. And exactly what we said was going to happen, happened.
Yeah, like, right now, the amount of deaths that we're having a day, mm-hmm. in 6 or 8 weeks, we're going to be crying for it to be back down to that level.
Yeah. By current estimates, one American is dying from COVID every minute.
Yeah.
Which is awful. We have since crossed the threshold of a quarter of a million deaths.
Yeah.
There is good news to be had about it, about the COVID front, specifically of the vaccine. Of the vaccine field, because we are hearing good things now, and it looks like it might not be too terribly long before a vaccine is widely available.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. But yeah, a bunch of other shit happened, including ongoing bullshit with the election and the certain orange tangerine not acknowledging the fact that he fucking lost. Yeah, that's more or less it. We've also got some entertainment news, including Conan O'Brien has actually got new plans. Also, we finally found out when they're going to release Wonder Woman 1984. Oh, yeah, and they also are doing that sequel to Coming to America.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. All right. But, yeah, we got all that and some other stuff to talk about, too. But let's not, stretch it out anymore. Let's go ahead and get started with what we always do. Chris, tell us what you've been doing this week.
Still been hunting for a PS5. I'll probably take the one Dan Reb has extra whenever he gets it. Mm-hmm. But for the time being, still hoping to get lucky at some point. So far, that has not happened.
Mm-hmm.
Did nearly get close on the Walmart drop yesterday. I was on the app, got to the point of picking a payment method, except nothing showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, work, damn you!
Yeah.
Then after it probably went out of stock, I was still like raging at it still being in my cart, not being able to get very far with it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was the fun thing.
Mm.
And yeah, kind of trying to potentially get these really stupid bundles they have at GameStop.
Mm-hmm.
That has games, physical versions of games I already have, and extra controllers and such I don't need.
Mm-hmm.
But I could just trade them in if I were to get it. But it was like $800 for a bundle. It's like, I still need the PS5 and I can trade the other stuff. So GameStop mm-hmm. benefits either way. On that, but that didn't work out either.
Mm.
I took a long, hard look at this $900 bundle QVC was doing.
Mm.
Which was full of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was about $700 worth of actual stuff people might want, and then like a random headset, controller chargers, and some other stuff that I was like, where's the $200 in this?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't even list like what the specific other items were. So that was like a QVC red flag I saw.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you can't list all the items in this bundle, no way am I going to buy it.
Mm.
I wasn't going to buy it either way because it's $900 fucking dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's been the frustrating part of the week. I've been watching a bunch of the newer stuff that's been coming out on the various services, like Lego Star Wars Holiday Special.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to watch it soon.
It takes place after the new movie, the newest one.
Yeah.
So it's not a remake of the original.
Hmm.
Not really. It includes random Wookiees showing up.
Mm-hmm.
I guess might be Chewie's family. I don't know. They don't explain anything about that, but it involves Rey trying to train Finn with the lightsaber and the Force and all that, and not being happy with her abilities to train somebody, and tries to find other means of learning how people that came before her did it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of nostalgia in that, and weirdness that goes on, as is typical in the Lego stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That they do, but yeah, it's pretty good. Nothing amazing, but pretty solid watch for like maybe 40 minutes or so. It's been
yes.
Bar. Yeah, mm-hmm. We watched the first couple.
Good bit of Pinky and the Brain, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. some little bit of the tablet. Mm-hmm. It equates to two type of tablets and acquires all knowledge of what's been going on in the past 22 years. The different presidencies. Another popular culture stuff,
mm-hmm.
all that kind of stuff, which then just kind of on a little bit here and there for the day, I guess, but it'd be like super like Hawaii mm-hmm. sequence where Dot
wants the world to be. Watch the new Super Marvel episodes per episode. It's like an hour long show, and so they do the first half is one episode, and the second half is another, going through two different groups of contestants. And yeah, it's a lot of the same kind of stuff they were doing before, but a lot of the mini game stuff they do to add times and such to the teams are more modernized. There's like some that are just, here's emojis, what product is that? That kind of stuff. A lot of good comedy in it too, since Leslie Jones is hosting, as she gets to riff on things that are going on, as well as some of her like sidekicks on the show. Yeah. Get to make some jokes, all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty good. Pretty good watch. And the neat thing is they let in the supermarket sweep portion of the show, the contestants get to pick out their own like theme of sweatshirt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one of the bits they do is Halloween themed. So somebody picks pumpkins, which obviously is not good to run in. So they have a lot of trouble with that.
Yeah.
And the neat thing is like the final sweep that they do, they ratchet up a bit. So there's five clues, but you do the first three to get 25K. Then you can, I think they'll give you another 20 seconds to go for the fourth for 50K. And then you can do the fifth for an additional 15 seconds over whatever you have left. For 100K, and if you fail on those extra chances, you just lose all the money. Outside of what you get in the supermarket sweep. So they've done a good job of modernizing it a bit and not making it the same old show, which is good. As for games, been watching or playing some more Rocket League. I do need to get back on since the new week's challenges went up, but was playing it mostly earlier this week and got up to Platinum 2, I think it was, the second tier of the Platinum ranks, so that was nice, and I started falling down a little bit. I was just getting some not great teams. But yeah, that's still going on. Playing some more Yakuza Like a Dragon. And I got to the real start of the game. As is with a lot of JRPGs, you get a lot of intro. And then they do something to really kind of reset you. In your status. As they set up a villain. All that kind of stuff. So, yeah, Ichiban gets in a situation where essentially he's homeless for a bit.
Yep.
That's kind of where I'm at right now. Had a weird sequence of driving a bike around this area to pick up cans while other groups are doing something similar. They made it seem like you would get like into some kind of Roman Colosseum combat type stuff. But I managed to get back without running into anybody. So who knows? I'll probably be able to do some more of that stuff because it makes it seem like it's a repeatable thing. Because it just gave me like a B score on the amount of cans that I got. It's a whole weird ass thing, but that's Yakuza's side stuff. I've also been playing more Pathless of the Pathless. Yeah, really getting into it. Starting to get the hang of the sort of framework that they have there. Where you're kind of trying to clear these areas that have tokens to them. You want to take them to the towers. You want to clear all the towers, and it sets up a boss fight with one of the whatever god is roaming over that particular area. And then once you do that, you get to the next area, essentially. So a little bit repetitive, but still fun nonetheless. And still been playing more of Spider-Man Miles Morales. Mostly just doing all the collectibles, which I'm enjoying a lot. Especially just that they really need an option. It might be in there to just turn off all the alerts for crimes that are going on because it just happens constantly. And it's like, I don't... I'm selfish Spider-Man right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder about my things, not stopping crimes from going on, whether or not... As far as I can tell, none of the trophies are dependent on you doing a bunch of the crime scenarios like it was mm-hmm. in the original game. So, yeah, that's been kind of it. How about you, Teresa?
Animaniacs, like you mentioned, we started that today. So we're watching that, and I am sure we're going to be watching a whole lot more of it. Mm-hmm. We have to watch this week's Mandalorian. And we will do that. And of course, Star Trek Discovery. I didn't put that in the show notes, but we'll watch that. There's Archer. There was no Archer this week. So I guess they're taking a brief break. We've also been watching The Crown. That one is back. I don't think that's really like your guys' cup of tea type of thing, is it?
Like, no, I haven't seen it yet.
No. It's good. Like, I had been watching it and, Scott walked by while I was watching in the bedroom or the living room or something. And I mean, I was halfway through the first season and he just got sucked in and started watching. So it's good. I mean, Helena Bonham, whatever the fuck her name is in there. Not Carter, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm so bad with names. She's in there. They've had John Lithgow played. Oh my god, Winston Churchill. He played Winston Churchill. Yeah. They've got Dana Scully. What's her face? Gillian Anderson. She is playing Margaret Thatcher. Because let me tell you, across the pond, they love them some Gillian Anderson. Like, she's in everything. She's huge over there. Huge. So we've been watching that, and Bob's Burgers still watching that, of course. And like, why did it take me so long to get there? I guess just it took a pandemic for me to have enough time.
The show is either just about or has hit its 200th episode, which is wild. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, as Scott told me today that a couple of the writers for that are going
to
be doing. Oh, sorry. I didn't look far enough down the yeah, spoiling everything. I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing. So, well, because it's Maple Leaf season and it's only here for like 10 days. And then there was a new update that dropped yesterday. I upgraded my storage, so I have max storage available now. Well, I did before, but it's even more now. And I haven't figured out how to sit down on the ground with my little animals. And I need to figure that out. And I'm like, is there some trick or something? It's not super obvious. It should be like, I'm sitting there going through the goddamn controls. I'm like, seriously, they said they were putting it in there. Oh, maybe they didn't roll it out in this one. Maybe it'll be in the next one. Yeah, uh-huh. I'll look it up. I'll look it up. But, also playing Pokemon Go, but you guys know I've never given that up. And they're raising the level cap on Pogo. Yeah. So I think that happens at the beginning of the year. So we'll see if I have enough banked up XP to get to level 41. I don't think I'd get any higher than that. But other than that, just work. And, I don't know, kind of fooling around with the bathroom, but not. We got our sink, so there's that. But yeah, it's a matter of actually installing it. And that feels like a daunting thing. We don't like DIY shit. Mm-hmm. We really don't. But other than that, I've been angry a lot about COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
One of my mom's friends is dead and still dead. One of them is sick. She's been sick for like 3 weeks. And then last weekend, mom went to pick up some donated things of cat food because she unofficially runs her own shelter feeding stray kitty cats. And she was outside talking to her friend, one of her other friends, for an hour, 2 hours, and just found out today that her friend's husband, who previously, I guess, was diagnosed with bronchitis, is actually COVID positive. But she and mom were both wearing masks, and they were outdoors, so fingers crossed, but some other family members are being very risky with their behavior, and I am I'm angry because I don't want them to get sick. I don't want them to be hurting. I don't want them to be dead. And, you know, I don't want them to be dead because they just wanted to go hang out at Paris Landing in cabins with their friends the weekend before Thanksgiving, which they can't do. And they're completely butthurt about it because somebody got exposed. And then it was all, well, my friend got it and he had a fever for 6 hours and the rest of his family got it and they had no symptoms. This is nothing. And they're fatigued and they're emboldened because some people, obviously lots of people, do recover. And it's just bad. I mean, I would like to get together with family and I would like for them to come up here. But, you know, I said, if you do, you have to strictly quarantine for 2 weeks beforehand and not stop anywhere on the way to use the bathroom or go shopping. And that is apparently an impossibility for them. They cannot do it. Or, well, they will not do it. Of course, they can do it. Anybody can do it. But they won't do it. And I'm mad about it. But I know that I can't control anybody else's actions. I can only control my reaction to their actions. But I'm mad because I care. You know? If I didn't give a shit, then I guess I wouldn't be mad. But I give a shit. So it's hard. And there's that little quote going around this week. It's like Fox News has done to our parents what they said video games would do to us. Video games and violent TV.
Yep.
And it has. It's rotted their brains. So, sorry. Yeah. Kind of a downer, but I mean, at least it's a little therapeutic to talk about it. But there's nothing to do about it. Just hope that nothing happens.
Yeah. All right. And I guess it's my turn. Yep, okay. Yeah, so for me, I'm still playing Cold Steel 4. I'm now in Act 3, which I'm pretty sure is like the over the hump and now in the last half of the game. Whole bunch of shit happens during midway through that game that kind of brings some characters back that you thought might have been dead, although, let's be honest, there's no way this guy could have been dead. He's like a fan favorite. But yeah, a bunch of characters, start making their way back into the narrative. You get a bigger ship start using to go around Erebonia. You find out some things about Chancellor Osborn and his origins, and the sort of nature of the Great Twilight Curse that's not just being apparently not isolating itself to Erebonia, it's actually starting to pop up in neighboring Liberal and Calvard. So, yeah. crazy shit's fixing to go down. And, you know, the story is like so big and epic, and you got to think, like, man, how are they going to top this? Like, how do you start like a new storyline after this when you're literally doing a storyline that has been building up since the very first Trails in the Sky game? I don't know. I mean, there's already another Trails game that they put out, Trails of Beginnings, which I think is them sort of starting up the next storyline. But that game hasn't made its way over here just yet. Yeah, so, again, Cold Steel 4, great game. But you better have played the other games before you've gotten to it. And I still have not played Trails of Zero or Trails of Azure, so I need to email Pat and see if he can send me a copy. But other than that, yes, I'm also playing Kaiserreich. And yeah, I actually managed to get through a portion of that game, finally, by siding with the Combined Syndicates of America, which is like the sort of left-wing faction that pops up during the Civil War that happens after the Veldkrieg ends. Veldkrieg is this game's term for World War One, because again, the Central Powers win in this timeline. And we get pretty good ways into the game, and then fucking MacArthur dropped a nuke on us.
Uh-oh.
So it's back to square one. Wonderful. Let's see, what else? Books, doing my usual reading. I don't know if I've ever told you guys, one of my favorite writers, and unfortunately he's not with us anymore. He died back in 2013 as a Scottish author by the name of Ian Banks. And Banks, essentially, he wrote under both his given name of Ian Banks, and he also wrote under the name Ian M. Banks. With his regular given name, he wrote like genre-bending, like literary fiction that goes off into some really weird fucking directions. But under Ian M. Banks, he wrote several pieces of science fiction. In particular, he's known for what's called The Culture, which is a huge like galactic milieu in which there's this group called, there's this like civilization that's called the Culture. And basically the Culture is a civilization that has managed to overcome the concept of economic scarcity. So now they have limitless goods, they have limitless services, limitless energy, basically. So essentially, the Culture is by all accounts an anarchist utopia, with the caveat that the governing is done by a group of AIs, called Minds. But the thing about utopia is, utopia can get kind of boring. So the Culture has this thing called special circumstances, which is I don't want to necessarily call it a government body, because again, there isn't really a government in the Culture. It's essentially like their example of like special intelligence and wet works. And basically what they do is they go in disguise into various other planets and galaxies they go and, you know, essentially monitor them and see when they might be at a point where they can be assimilated into the Culture, or whether or not they should just be left alone. And the great thing is that their technology is at the point now that they actually have drug glands in their brains that can actually, like, they literally call it glanding, and it's literally like it secretes mind-altering drugs on command.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. And they got, like, names for it, like the type of shit you'd find on, like, a vape pack. Like Blue Spring and Azure Dreams or something like that. But, yeah, it's good stuff. If you ever get a chance to read it, read it. And, I've probably talked about this a few times. I've talked about Reds or Revolutionary Timeline, which is an alternate history project that, I have, not only am I a fan of, but I've also sort of helped work on. I've talked about this before, haven't I?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. This week I posted my first official part of the timeline.
Ooh.
As like an actual official contributor.
Nice.
Yes. Just the idea is, okay. So a lot of people may not know this. You guys know who H.G. Wells is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. H.G. Wells, guy, he wrote War of the Worlds, The Island of Dr. Moreau, the Time Machine guy, you know, this guy.
Yeah.
Wells was a very distinguished man of letters back in his day. And, One of the things he used to do is he used to travel the world and interview famous people. And in 1934, he actually managed to land an interview with Joseph Stalin.
And wow.
Yes, that Joseph Stalin. And would you believe that Joseph Stalin actually was able to match wits with the guy?
You know, I mean, he's never been presented as a dumb man.
No. Stalin was a lot of things, but mediocre and stupid were not that.
Yeah.
Damaged, you know, could hold a grudge for years, yes. Cruel, definitely. Ruthless, oh yeah. Stupid and mediocre, no. Well, I put up the idea to what's called the Troika, and basically the Troika is like the name we have for the three individuals who write the Reds. And if he interviewed Premier William Foster and General Secretary Upton Sinclair, and they were like, sure, go for it. And I wrote out the interview, and they loved it, and so they posted it on the timeline.
Cool.
Yep. So that's there. So, yeah, if you are reading it, specifically the version that's on Sufficient Velocity, which is the official version, it's under my pen name of Adonisus. It's pretty much the last thing on the last thread mark on there at the moment before the epilogue, I think. So, yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, that's about it. Anything else we want to add before we move on?
Nah. Good.
All right. And with that, it's now time to start the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we always have to start with the assholes of the week. And our biggest asshole of the week happens to be none other than the Boy Scouts of America, because it was announced this week that after the Boy Scouts recently filed for bankruptcy in order to pay for all those sex abuse settlements, we found out just how many sex abuse settlements claims have actually been filed in the bankruptcy. 90,000.
Yeah.
And according to the actual firm that is in charge of this, that is far in excess of what they were expecting to get.
Yeah, they are saying just before the deadline on the 16th, they said the number of claims totaled about 88,500.
Yeah. God damn. And I gotta tell you, the reason this went on for so long is because the Boy Scouts basically did exactly what the fucking Vatican did. Basically, any abusing scoutmasters, they basically just uprooted and moved to another troop. And basically would cover it up, usually try to pay off the victims' families.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really infuriating is you'll occasionally get these assholes is like, yeah, well, this wouldn't have happened if they hadn't decided to allow gays and scouts. And I'm like, this shit goes all the way back to the 80s, dude.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, this shit is... Look, there's a reason people have been making jokes about this shit for well over 30 years. It's because it's been going on for over 30 years, if not longer.
Yeah. They're going to have to pull in funds from all over the place.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have to sell off some real estate and shit.
The national organization is expected to contribute a substantial portion of its assets, including financial investments and real estate. Boy Scouts insurers will also be contributing, as well as the Boy Scouts, roughly 260 local councils and companies that insured them in the past.
All right.
Yeah. There's one like damning quote here from the Torts Claimants Committee said more sexual abuse claims will be filed in the Boy Scouts bankruptcy than all claims filed against the Catholic Church throughout the nation.
Yeah. That's when your claims are more than the Catholic Church, yeah, you got a problem. You got a serious fucking problem. Moving on from there, continuing the theme of sexual abuse of minors, the Louisville Police Department, and I'm guessing this is in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. They have been accused of concealing at least 738 1,000 documents pertaining to the sexual abuse of teenagers by two former officials. Not 200, not 2,000, just two.
Yeah. This involves the Louisville Courier Journal reporting on this stuff. That filed a public records request last year for any documents relating to the sexual abuse of minors by those two former officers. And the LMPD Explorer Scout Program, which is a mentoring program youth interested in law enforcement. Both officers have already pleaded guilty to state and federal charges in connection with the abuse scandal, are currently serving time in prison, so they've already started to pay their dues on that stuff. This involves like the records department of the LMPD, their records custodian said the department couldn't comply with the request because any relevant records, quote, would previously have been turned over to the FBI, which is still investigating what went on with the Explorer program, which still doesn't really matter. They even appealed to the Kentucky AG's office, but the Jefferson County Attorney's Office forwarded the Kentucky AG the same explanation that police gave. And yeah, it's two lawyers for the newspaper were dismayed by the department's conduct. One of them said he had never seen anything so brazen. I think it's an outrage. They've destroyed their ability to comply with the open records law. They did it purposely, and they didn't tell the truth about it.
Yeah.
Just kind of a sad whole thing all around.
Yeah. God damn, that is flagrant malfeasance of just the worst kind. It really is.
It is, and shame on everybody who let them stay in positions of power.
Yeah.
And covered up for them.
Yeah. Like, at some point, you've got to ask yourself, is it really worth it to keep covering this shit up like this?
No, it's not.
Anyway, let's move on to some good old-fashioned political corruption. So, for those of you who don't know, here down in Georgia, we recently had a recount for the presidential election because of the margin of error that happened. For those of you who don't know, Georgia went blue for the first time in close to 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And ended up voting for Biden. And so the Trump campaign, the Trump campaign had nothing to do with it because this is by Georgia law. When it's within this margin of error, then a hand recount is an automatic requirement. So they did the automatic required hand count, and guess what? Biden won again.
It's literally Groundhog Day.
And we got to watch Trump lose twice.
Yeah.
So it has now come about, thanks to our Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, that apparently Senator Lindsey Graham actually called his office and urged him to remove ballots in the recount.
Yeah.
That's election fraud, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That carries a very, very nasty sentence goes along with that.
I certainly hope that it gets prosecuted.
Yeah, I'm going to guess not, but the Secretary of State did say, I got the sense it implied that then you could throw out those out for any. If you look at the counties, the highest frequent error of signatures. So that's the impression I got. Yeah, he was inquiring about the process by which, among other things, signatures are verified on mail-in ballots. And suggesting that, you know, maybe you just throw them out. Which, yeah, they did the recount, and the change in numbers was like 0.0009%, something like that. A high number for recounts, but changed virtually nothing about the end result. So, yeah, it's ridiculous that he'll get away with this.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is weird that he is doing this like on behalf of Trump, because Trump's not going to be there anymore.
Yeah. Here's what a lot of people, this is the theory I've heard. I don't know how much truth is in it, but there have been rumors for years that Lindsey Graham is gay. He is not known to be in any relationships with any women. He is unmarried. He is a bachelor. It is possible that maybe he's just asexual. But there have been people who have claimed to have, like, have been with him from, like, pickup sites and stuff like that. You know, like, there's a reason why whenever the Republican National Convention is in town that Grindr becomes a fucking amusement park.
Yeah.
And people, like, one of the reasons people think that he has become so slavishly devoted to Trump is that Trump may have some dirt on him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the completely honest. If people found out that Lindsey Graham was gay and that he had a lover or something, by most normal accounts, that would not be a big deal. But you also got to remember the world that Lindsey Graham comes from and where a lot of his power base comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a feeling in the next couple of years, we're probably going to hear about Lindsey Graham being in some kind of homosexual tussle at a hotel somewhere.
Very likely.
Yeah, and it's probably going to be Trump's former fixers that'll be releasing that information.
Yeah.
Mm. Speaking of the Trump administration, the Secretary of the Treasury, Steven Mnuchin, is announcing he's pulling the plug on emergency Federal Reserve lending programs. Because, I was going to say, it's another example of the Trump administration basically setting shit on fire before they leave.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is actually trying the federal chairman, Jerome Powell.
Mm-hmm.
Mnuchin sent a letter to him asking the central bank to return some $455 billion in unused funding for programs set to expire December 31st. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Congress would then be able to use the money for other purposes. The decision would force several programs to end that were intended to help businesses that have been struggling as pandemic wreaks havoc on the U.S. economy. The money was set up aside in March as part of the CARES Act.
Mm-hmm.
Providing financial assistance and loans for distressed companies,
mm-hmm.
which you know in a lot of companies related to people in the Trump and men have been getting large chunks of that.
Yep.
Which this is all them wanting to tie up this money so that if it's not going to keep helping Wall Street, it shouldn't go to anything else, basically. In which the Federal Reserve has been very much outspoken of late about this money,
mm-hmm.
In this decision, which is a bit rare for them.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, they should be working to extend this stuff. But, yeah, we got the Senate right now going on recess for Thanksgiving with no relief bill in sight. So
Nothing.
More doing votes this week just to confirm more judges and all that kind of stuff. I think trying to also get another chairman on the Federal Reserve,
mm-hmm.
but then the Senate denied.
Because amongst other things, she was a hardcore gold bug.
Yeah.
Who was bound and determined to put the U.S. back on the gold standard. Which would be a very bad thing because it would kill the U.S. dollar immediately.
Yeah, Trump's ideas for who should go on the Federal Reserve has been bad almost every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Was he going to put like Herman Cain on there?
Yep.
Which, like, talk about a dude that knows nothing. You need people to actually know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other guy was, like, a dude who wrote a really shitty book.
Mm-hmm.
On Amazon.
Yeah.
So, you know, the kind of people you find out by Googling stuff.
Yeah. But, anyway. Yeah, anyway. All right, so now it's time to go on to the show proper, and starting as we often do, we got to open up the garage and pull out the COVID-19 dump truck. We got a bit more sizable of a of a load for you this week, because as we said at the top of the show, we knew this shit was going to happen, and now it's happening. So, worldwide, cases are now at 57.4 million. Of those, 1.4 million people have died from it. Specifically with the United States, we now have 11.9 million cases, and we have since crossed the half, the quarter of a million threshold for deaths, with 254,000 as of now, as of counting right now.
Yeah, we're averaging, we got 10,000 since last week.
Yeah, it's estimated that someone in America is dying of COVID pretty much every minute. So, yeah, a lot of places in small town America, their hospitals are nearing capacity, especially out in the Midwest.
Though those numbers are lagging behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a sense, because the real point where the people that are getting cases now, where these current numbers are at, is like 2 weeks ahead.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It's going to hit a lot of the like northern Midwest.
Yeah.
And it's already hard. Bad. I mean,
yeah.
The Dakotas are horrible. Minnesota's really bad. Wisconsin is unbelievably bad.
Yeah.
And today, after work, we received a an alert from the emergency announcement system on all of our phones about the situation in Illinois, urging us to stay home, not go anywhere for Thanksgiving, and, you know, only essential trips, but stay indoors.
Yeah.
And this is just an urge. This isn't a lockdown yet, but...
Yeah. Here in Georgia... there are no major lockdown plans as of yet, but like all the old restrictions that were put in, when we started opening up, those are still going to be extended probably until April.
Mm-hmm.
We've managed to more or less, I don't want to make it sound like we've beaten COVID or anything, because we certainly have. The cases are still going up, but the rate between, you know, the rate of the infection and death rate has gone down. So we have, you know, flattened the curve more or less. A lot of that kind of just has to do with the fact that we're a temperate climate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good
point.
So, you know, but and winter is supposed to be is supposed to be unusually warm this year. So, you know, I don't know how it's going to work. We'll see.
Which is probably not great either.
Yeah.
People go out.
Yeah, there's that too. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Damn.
Cuz people don't react to warmer winters too, like, oh, this is unnatural.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's great.
No.
It's like, no, it's not.
Well,
it's not supposed to be 80 in November.
Well, no. Well, actually, I need to point this out. Warm winters are not an unusual thing to happen down here.
No,
not down there, but where we are.
Yeah, where you are. Yeah, you guys are fucked. But
where it's about 60 for the past couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, so amongst COVID-19 news we got this week, the FDA is allowing the emergency use of first at-home rapid virus test.
Yeah, this one comes from, what is it? What's the company here? They've hidden their name, but it's Lucira Health. It allows users to swab themselves to collect a nasal sample. Samples then swirled in a vial of laboratory solution, plugs into a portable device, and results are displayed as lights labeled positive or negative. Yes, about 300 tests have been authorized for coronavirus. The vast majority require a nasal swab performed by a health professional.
Mm-hmm.
Must be processed at laboratories using high-tech equipment. A handful allow people to collect them at home.
Mm-hmm.
Which is usually nasal swab or saliva that's shipped to a lab, but this is the first one that you kind of get all parts of it done at home.
Yep. right, that's good.
I expect it to cost about $50, be available nationwide by next spring.
Yeah. We also got some good news on the vaccine front. Moderna claims their vaccine has 94.5 efficacy rate with better temperature stability, which basically means that you don't have to like deep freeze this shit and manage to and have it like go bad on the way to you know being shipped out.
Yeah.
This stuff can sort of navigate temperatures a little better.
Yeah, so this one, their interim analysis came back with about 94.5% efficacy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
Again, we have to remind people, efficacy means that it's effective in a controlled testing environment.
Yeah.
Not real world.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so their storage for this, it's stable at normal fridge temperatures of 2 to 8 degrees Celsius or 36 to 48 degrees Fahrenheit for about 30 days. It can be stored up to 6 months at negative 20 degrees Celsius. Yeah, Pfizer's vaccine must be shipped and stored at negative 70 degrees Celsius, the sort of temperature typical of an Antarctic winter. And that's stored up to 5 days at standard refrigerator temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
Or 15 in the thermal shipping box.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. And on top of that, Pfizer says their vaccine now has 95% efficacy, 95% total efficacy with high rates for older patients. That's especially good news.
Yeah.
Because probably the most at-risk group in the United States is older people for COVID-19.
Yeah, probably the people that will get vaccines first.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, after first revealing their preliminary results last week, they've gotten new results since then that their numbers could be around 95% efficacy. And potentially they might ask U.S. FDA to allow emergency use of the vaccine.
Mm.
So, yeah, who knows where that's going to go, but. Yeah, they say, let's see, I'm not sure where the part about the older folks are at, but yeah, it's, yeah, they said there are enough older adults enrolled in the study and among the placebo recipients who became infected that he's confident this vaccine appears to work in the higher risk population.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more than 94% effective in adults over age 65.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and it's not a huge sample size for these tests, but hopefully that pans out in the full release.
Mm-hmm. Moving on to the election cleanup for 2020. As I mentioned earlier, yes, Georgia did have its automatic recount results. Biden won again, so we got to watch Trump lose twice.
Yeah.
Now I want to point out that the Trump campaign can still request a third recount because it is still within that margin.
And now, they would have to pay for it.
Yeah, they would have to pay for it themselves. And let's be honest, Trump doesn't pay for anything. He gets other people to pay for it.
Exactly. I mean, look at how much money he's making off of his, help my legal fund.
Now, whether or not they're actually going to go through with that is up in the air. On the one hand, his ego is so big that it's absolutely possible that his administration will request the recount and either stiff the money from someone else or just not pay for it.
Yeah.
What we've seen from a lot of their legal requests has just been they're all bluster, no merit.
Yeah, and they're basically shot down, like almost
shot down, or they pull them because they know it's not going to hold up.
Yeah,
or because they get the wrong M-word state.
Yeah. Last I checked, it was like 1 for 32. Anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, that happened. So yeah, Georgia did go blue this time. That's pretty amazing. I always knew that, you know, the Solid South could not hold forever, that eventually, just by the sheer demographics, it was going to change. I just didn't expect that it would be my state to do it first.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was going to be like Texas or, you know, or like air or, you know, somewhere, you know, New Mexico or something like that. No.
Mm-hmm.
It was Georgia. It was my state. You can really thank Atlanta for it because they're the ones who really came out in force. This next part is especially vexing for me, and I'll tell you why. This week, Rudy Giuliani did a press conference. I think it was yesterday. Was it yesterday or was it Wednesday?
It was yesterday. With his kid with him.
Yeah.
The son with him.
And he went and he spewed just a bunch of bullshit while his hair dye started melting off of his scalp and down his face.
I think it's actually like spray on color to cover up the gray.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Rogaine or something like that.
That seems like the kind of cheap shit he would use.
Yep. Yeah. I've heard of flop sweat before, but goddamn. That's.
I don't know if you saw the video from that press conference where he goes to use a handkerchief to blow his nose, then unfolds it to the booger side out, then wipes all over his face.
Oh, God, sorry. That got me.
He's just wiping it all over his head.
Because like, this is a fucking pandemic, and his kid was his son, not a kid, an adult, was contagious yesterday, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, don't you know how to deal with your fucking snot? Like, not to fucking wipe it all over your damn face because you're a fucking idiot?
Yeah. Jesus or maybe Christ. Have two handkerchiefs, one for nose and one for head.
Yeah.
Could Again, you, he's please? Cheap.
Yeah. Hold on just a second, days. Guys. My, Dad just got home, so pretty sure Brody's about to go nuts. Just hold just a moment. Anyway, yeah, okay, he's fine. All right.
Okay. Cool.
The problem here for me is, there he goes. The problem for me here is that Giuliani managed to spew enough bullshit that he apparently managed to convince my mom that there really is widespread voter fraud.
Oh, God.
After I had thought that she had accepted that he had lost, that Trump had lost, but no.
You know, and this is vexing that there's people churning and stewing. And I mean, this is not comfortable for your mom. I'm sure. No. You know, nobody wants to be on the losing side of things. Mm-hmm. But to, you know, it's like when people give false hope about a terminal patient getting better. This is not good. Mm-hmm. This is not good. He's like, what was it? The mediums and stuff that would fleece people, you know, in hopes of hearing from their dead loved ones. This
John Edwards.
Yeah. Rudy Giuliani is now.
And Sylvia
right
Brown, I think, was the other one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
What we're basically seeing here is a mass nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
Because the sheer desperation is both. At one point, it's kind of infuriating because you would hope that people would be mature enough to just get over it.
Yeah.
But it's also really sad at the same time. And
it is. It is.
Very depressing. Once January 20th comes about, Donald Trump will no longer be president. Joe Biden will. Yep, so that's the election cleanup we got for you this week. We will almost certainly have more for you next week. That's basically the end. End of all the serious shit for this week. So moving on from there, let's move on to some fun science news. Are you ready? Let's go.
Yep.
So this one here, SpaceX, I'm pretty sure that's Elon Musk company, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. they had a successful launch carrying NASA astronauts to the ISS, the International Space Station. Four of them.
Yeah.
Four NASA astronauts to the ISS.
Yep. They are helping to keep the ISS fully staffed.
Mm-hmm.
And they are right now in orbit,
mm-hmm.
Riding aboard a SpaceX Crew Dragon capsule.
Mm-hmm.
That is expected to dock with the ISS on Monday at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mm-hmm.
And that crew will spend 27 hours in orbit as the spacecraft slowly maneuvers towards its destination. Trip would have been shorter if it could have launched on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
As first planned, because ISS would have lined up in such a way to allow the spacecraft to reach the station in almost 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But bad weather from Hurricane Eta forced them to delay it a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you got some rain from that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Luckily, nothing too bad.
Yeah. All right. Moving on there to the entertainment news. Conan O'Brien, for those of you who may remember, Conan O'Brien actually had a short stint on, what was it, Late Night?
The Tonight Show?
Tonight Show, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was hosted Tonight Show for a short stint, and then Jay Leno bitched and moaned about it, and he got it back. So, but the support and for Conan O'Brien was so big that he was actually able to get his own show on TBS called Conan that ended up being very successful. But as you can probably know, because of the COVID pandemic, he hasn't really been able to do a show proper for a while now. And this week he announced that he's actually ending that show in 2021. And instead he's going to end up doing a weekly show for HBO Max.
Yeah. So the going to end his TBS show in June 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an 11-year run for him at TBS.
Mm-hmm.
Which he had 15 at Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
Before he did The Tonight Show.
Yep.
Which then Jay Leno got his show to push The Tonight Show back.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't want somebody else taking his spotlight away, I guess.
Yeah.
I think Conan just said, nah, fuck this.
Mm-hmm.
Not really worth it, you know, calling it The Tonight Show when it's on the next day, essentially. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you talked about this saying, in 1993, Johnny Carson gave me the best advice of my career. As soon as possible, get to a streaming platform. I'm thrilled that I get to continue doing whatever the hell it is I do on HBO Max, and I look forward to a free subscription.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's done a bunch of travel specials in the past, like, 5 years. Mm. Obviously not so much of late. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what he's doing there, and
mm-hmm.
I assume he's going to still be posting that stuff on his YouTube channel and websites, the Team Coco channels.
Because
I would imagine that'd be part of it, since they post a lot of their stuff there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be exciting to see what he does. His podcast is still great.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He gets the shit on his assistant all the time.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And next she gets up. It on him, too.
Mm-hmm. And next up, Deadpool 3. Yes, there is a third Deadpool movie coming, and it's being written by the Molyneux sisters from Bob's Burgers.
Yep. Yeah, Ryan Reynolds is returning, and the Emmy-winning writers of the Bob's Burgers,
mm-hmm.
Lizzie Molyneux, Loughlin, and Wendy Molyneux are being tapped to write Deadpool 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting to see. Yeah, show's really great.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the writing. So it'll be fun to see what they can do with Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the most high-profile writing roles women have gotten in comic movies.
Yep. Definitely. Definitely. Speaking of comic book movies, Wonder Woman 1984... For a while, they've been saying, like, look, are we going to just delay this thing? Are we going to maybe give it a small release in theaters and then put it on a streaming platform? Are we just going to forego theaters out all together and just put it out on streaming. And this week we finally got an answer. On Christmas Day, it's going to be debuting both in theaters and on HBO Max.
Yeah. They say in international markets, it'll premiere in theaters 1 week earlier on December 16th. But it'll be on HBO Max for a month from December 25th.
Mm.
So not too long, but yeah, the theater thing is a bit weird because they're basically saying like it's going to go into theaters for the ones that are still open.
Yeah.
Which is not going to be very many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because like two of the major chains here in this country have shut things down.
And are more or less dead, let's be honest.
Yeah, for the time being. Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting experiment because it's going to be a much more high-profile movie than any of the ones that have come before that have had to take the risk of, you know,
mm-hmm.
going on one of the streaming services or general VOD or going to theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even Patty Jenkins, who directed it, you know, basically said, let's see, the time has come. At some point, you have to choose to share any love and joy you have to give or over everything else. We love our movie as much as we love our fans, mm-hmm. so we truly hope that our film brings a little bit of joy and reprieve to all of you this holiday season. She urged fans to seek out the movie where they feel the safest. Watch in theaters where it is made safe to do so. Check out the great work theaters have done to make it so. And available in the safety of your home on HBO Max where it is not. Happy holidays to all of you. We hope you enjoy our film as much as we enjoyed making it.
Mm.
I think she's talked about like a part of their theater plan on her Twitter account. She was talking about like rent to theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Like some theaters would just be open for people that are able to pay for, you know, to open up the theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get like a sizable group to afford that kind of thing, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. And next up, we've got the sequel to Coming to America, the famous Eddie Murphy comedy from the 80s called Coming to, the numerical to, America, because of course, and it's going to be releasing March 5th, 2021 on Amazon Prime Video.
Yep.
So I'm actually curious, like, what the storyline's going to be for this one.
Let's see. The newly crowned King of Keem and Semi embark on a new adventure as them traversing the globe from Zamunda back to Queens.
Mm-hmm.
The original cast members that are returning include James Earl Jones,
yeah.
Sherry Headley, mm-hmm. John Amos, Louis Anderson. Joining the cast are Wesley Snipes, Leslie Jones, Tracy Morgan,
yeah,
Jermaine Fowler, Bella Murphy, Rotimi, Kiki yep. Lane, Zamo Mabatha,
yeah.
Tiana Taylor.
Yeah. They couldn't really have Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall again because, let's be honest, they're a little too old for that particular role now, at least as far as this storyline is concerned.
Well, I think Eddie Murphy is returning for this.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, wait, is this going to be like his son or something that's going to be doing this? Because, look, if you watch the movie, you know he, you know, the movie ends, he, you know, goes back to his home country and assumes the throne. Well, he kind of assumes the throne and gets, you know, married, and they stay there. So,
yeah.
Where's the story going to go from there? Well, like, whatever.
It's them taking a trip from their homeland back to Queens.
Yeah, like, what, like, let's see, like 30, 40 years later? Wow.
32.
Yep.
It's 88.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'll have to wait to see what the trailer shows for this.
Yeah. Wonder if that one dude's still going to have a Jerry curl.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was, like, one of my favorite parts of that movie. Like, not only him, but, like, his whole family have, like, greasy-ass Jerry curls, and every time they get up from, like, a couch, there's, like, a massive grease stain on the back.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because people think that, like, that whole big hair thing was only for white people. Nope. No, it was not. And if anything, the Jerry curl was probably even worse for your hair than the the big hair thing was, because you had to oil and fry the hell out of your hair to get that consistency. And finally, Judd Apatow is working on a pandemic comedy for Netflix, because of course he is.
Yeah, it's he's going to direct this, produce, co-write it. He's co-writing it with South Park writer Pam Brady.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like his usual crew of executive producers and such will be there.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you'll get Seth Rogen and his usual crew of actors in this as well, but they don't have anything announced here for this. Yeah, that's kind of it for that. We don't have any dates or anything like that just yet.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, it says the film will follow a group of actors and actresses stuck inside a pandemic bubble at a hotel attempting to complete a film.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it'll definitely have some of his notable actors that he usually has in his movies.
Yep. All right. And, all right, I do believe we have a show, folks. Once again, we want to kind of apologize, because when you hear this, you're probably going to hear one thing or something that didn't quite make it into the recording. That's because Craig, our little recorder bot, decided to act like an asshole for a minute and screwed up the recording. So what you're going to be hearing is kind of spliced together from a bunch of shit. So either way, though, we are glad that you decided to listen all the way to the end here, and we want to remind you that if you want to get into contact with us, have a question to ask, or just have something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked for you in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can find our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And so, with that, it has been a Let's Weekend episode. I have been your host, Brandon Perkins. For Chris Sologi and Teresa Sammons, I want to say good night, sleep tight, please have a safe Thanksgiving. If you can avoid going out, please avoid going out. And if you are going out, remember to follow the rules, wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands frequently. And hopefully by the time we come back to this time of year next year, we'll be in much better spots. Don't worry, folks. 2020 is almost over. Good night.